Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I don't have a I'm a feminist, but because I was practicing some on my boyfriend and he was like, don't say any of those.
Okay, all right. Well, look, you chip in with any or all, including I'm a feminist, but my boyfriend told me I'm not allowed to say any of these.
That is quite unfeminist.
My boyfriend told me I'm not allowed to share my I'm a feminist butt. Is the best I'm a feminist butt I've ever heard.
Okay.
I'm going to start. I'm a feminist, but tonight I was late for this recording because I was buying scatter cushions online.
Wait, what
a series
color?
Of scatter. Well, I'm so glad you've asked, Alison.
Are they this feminist? Is now
the theme like of this vaginals? Show tonight should be scatter cushions. Okay, I'll tell you what happened. Easter weekend, Tom and I did a big clear out, spring clean, and chucked away a lot of stuff because a year in lockdown, a year of not going out, and I get sent a lot of stuff that's, you know, I love and, you know, I want and stuff like that, but, you know.
Yeah, please don't stop sending that. That's what Deborah's saying.
No, don't stop sending things, but... Sometimes yeah. I've read the feminist books or there's too many that I can't read. So my brilliant friend Ellen Jones took a load of books. She wants a feminist library or was building her feminist library. And I just, you know what? I've just been staring at the same four walls for a year. And I mean, this is not the year to be buying a new sofa. I think we need to be very clear about that as there is very little income coming in. But I just thought I need some, I haven't decorated my flat for 10 years and I just went, I need some new cushions and maybe some rugs, something bright, something else to look at. And I just, in my fit of organisation, I've bought a new cabinet to organise some stuff. There's some stuff that has no place to go and my bedroom is getting a bit like landfill. So I've really organised. I've bought an organisation cabinet. I've bought a shoe cabinet. Oh my God, I bought a shoe cabinet that's going to hang on the side of my wardrobe. You open it and inside you can put 15 pairs of shoes. So I'm not scrabbling around on the floor like a student. No, I'm not Carrie Bradshaw now. I open it. No, I'm not. She has a big walk-in wardrobe with shoes floor to ceiling. I've just got a little cabinet that you pull. It's like a trouser press, only when you open
it
up.
I have one. They're amazing.
Do you? Yeah.
It causes so much divisiveness in the house, but I think it's incredible. It looks like it couldn't possibly contain as many shoes as it does.
Right. And what? And so when you say, like, was your boyfriend like, this is silly to get? I presume it was it. The device
is bad and ugly and stupid, but it's amazing. It's from IKEA. And when I saw it, and I was staying in an Airbnb in Denmark, and I was like, this is how I want to live. And I was just sort of trying to copy that. But is it? Is, I imagine yours is dead fancy, Deborah, and made of wood or something.
It is made of wood. It's not dead fancy. It takes ages to buy things that are ethical, not wildly priced, can get to you in a reasonable amount of time. My bedroom's got eaves, so I can't fit a lot in. I wanted a bedside table that was also a chest of drawers. And you have to look at literally hundreds to find something that's not going to come in 21 weeks. Because by 21 weeks, the chaos will be back. Oh, the chaos.
There'll be vaccines for furniture. Like, it'd be amazing. 21 weeks, we're sorted.
And the chaos will be back. I've got a system right now. I want to get everything into the system so I start using it. So that's what I've been doing. And that's why I was late, because I was looking at pink velvet and floral velvet cushions. That's right. I'm going bold, gang.
I'm a feminist, but when Jedward tweeted today, to be a leader and not a little bitch, I felt that. I want that. I want that tattooed on my neck. I think it's an amazing saying. And I love Jedward so much. I just want to say they're treasures.
I'm a feminist, but can I advise you against a neck tattoo?
A Jedward quote neck tattoo, I think, would be great in any business meeting. They'd be like, who's that girl? Like, what's her
stand
secret?
Out.
Yeah.
Are you being, I've just thought this might be a serious thing because I didn't know Alison had a tattoo that covers most of her lower leg till she showed me during the podcast. I saw a cute little picture of it on Instagram and then I saw the actual size of it on the podcast. So now I'm like, is the Jedward thing going to happen?
It could. I feel, look, genuinely, be a leader, not a little bitch. It just feels right. It just, Jedward have been woke-based for the past few months and, like, we didn't know. They are pro-trans rights, pro-BLM. They're just amazing boys. They're not just great singers. They're just the best woke-based.
And they only follow they only follow 89 people on Twitter, and two of them are me and Alison. So maybe we're like big influences on their views.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah. No, so Jedward were tweeting quite exciting stuff, and I was going to repeat some of it, but I can't because
go on. Yes, you can.
They were tweeting, basically, they were saying about One Direction, loads of them have been forced to be closeted and stuff. Not loads of them, but it backed up a lot of stuff I've read online over the years.
Fairness massive into blind items online and stuff.
What's blind items? I don't know what that is.
Oh my God.
So here we go. You've tapped in. This is
you would probably love it. It's basically celebrity blind items is all the stuff that doesn't get printed in the media. So my main interest is secretly gay celebrities and the practice of bearding, where people still have contracts to have fake relationships.
I'm a feminist, but the only female food mascot that I actually like is the Laughing Cow, because the rest of the female food mascots I get sexually threatened by. Like, they're just... They're just too sexy, and I don't think I could have a good time with the green M&M. I don't feel that she'd hold my hair back when I got sick. I feel that a Laughing Cow would try, even though she's got hooves, but I feel like she's a good time girl. And I don't trust a caramel bunny or the Chiquita banana lady. None of them.
Bunny would say, I'm not like the other girl bunnies.
That's exactly what the caramel bunny would be like. I can't think of any other female food mascot. And I think
is it possible, Alison, because you've told us before about your long-standing crush on Mr. Tato,
the Northern Irish Tato man.
The Irish crisp chap, who's got a face like a potato, but you fancy the Northern Irish one more because he's got more of a defined jaw.
Yes.
He's chiseled. Is it possible that you think Green M&M is going to hook up with Mr. Tato and that's where the real jealousy lies?
Yeah,
but it's not actually anything to do with her. It's to do with your love of Mr. Tato and your fears around their burgeoning love, which frankly you have no business interfering with because love is love is love.
I feel like the green M&M is like Jolene. She can have any man she wants. She's got two different M&Ms there. You know, the yellow one and the red one. And yeah, I feel she would do it just to like, just to make a statement to me, to go like, you could never have him. Even though it's wrong for potato and chocolate to get together. Like, it would be an abomination.
Oh my God.
It would
that
be.
Sounds like something people would say in the 50s.
It does.
I don't think you can say that. Fern Brady, do you have any hyperfeminist butts that you'd like to share with the class?
I did think of one. I'm a feminist, but my teen idol has started following me on Instagram and watches all my stories. So I've stopped posting any stories that are honestly me and just started posting ones where I'm all cutie patootie and like sort of girly Fern. And I hate myself.
Who's the teen idol? Are we allowed to know?
You wouldn't have known about him because he's so obscure, but it was the lead singer of a band that I had a shrine to in my bedroom. And he now just watches my Instagram stories. And now it's back in my head that we're going to get married.
Yeah.
I'm against marriage.
That is the next step. You're against marriage.
Yeah, but 14-year-old me was like, we're 100% going to get married as soon as he gets over the fact that I'm underage.
Well, I think you're safely overage now, Fern Brady.
Do you know what the most disgusting thought is that he's seen my comedy? Because I don't want anyone I fancy to have seen my comedy. Because it's basically like, here's every reason you shouldn't date me.
Obviously, John Hamm, if you are listening, which you know that I talk about you on this podcast, a few people have told you because they've told me they've told you. So if you do regularly listen, which is a possibility, it's all jokes. I'm a very chill person. If you just wanted to go for a drink as friends when you're in London and chat, I would not fangirl. I would be the chillest person you'd ever met. If you did want to invite me to a spa weekend in the south of France, I would be chill. I would just go and get a massage. We could just chat, eat some baguette. I don't know.
Like what? The one baguette between you.
eat some baguette now sounds phallic and like an innuendo, and it's not what I meant. It's not what I meant, John Hamm. It's not what I meant. I just meant chill, be friends. I'm not weird. That's what I meant.
Have you done some sort of thing about like ham sandwich, like wanting to be a ham sandwich or anything like that?
No.
I feel, yeah.
No, I'm really classy, Alison.
Oh, fair enough. That's you telling John Hamm that, isn't it? You're like, yeah. Psychically, you're going to John, don't meet Alison, mate. Like, she'll do sandwich jokes.
No, listen, if you get together with John Hamm, you're basically the green M&M to me. And he is Mr. Northern Irish Tato. And it's over between us. It's over. I mean, we can't be friends after that. You know how I feel.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a feminist, but
yeah.
I decided today I would be happier if I were an interior designer called Charlotte, who didn't know anything about feminism, didn't understand anything about injustice, and just cared about scatter cushions and interesting textiles with wonderful tactile qualities.
So you were making up a new life for you. You were role-playing as someone who didn't care about feminism. I would love to do that.
I don't know why I have to have a new name. And hashtag all the Charlottes out there who listen to the show, hello. Welcome.
Hashtag not all Charlottes.
Oh, no, obviously not. There's many brilliant Charlottes, feminist Charlottes. But in this scenario, I am an interior designer called Charlotte. I think it's quite a posh name. And yeah. I don't know anything about anything except I know how to drape a fabric. And I'm just not plagued with concern. I don't worry about things. I think happiness and contentment would be there, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd be privileged. It'd be absolutely privileged.
Yeah, but this is a fantasy you're having, so it's good to fantasize.
It's true. I rarely fantasize about not being privileged, to be honest. My fantasies go in a more privileged direction, very rarely a less privileged direction, I'll be honest.
You're not a person in an indie band, because they often, you know, fantasize about being less privileged and then cosplay as like working class people.
I was just thinking that.
The brain.
They do that to give, because they want their pasts to have some texture and colour and richness to it. They don't want to be poor right now.
I'm a feminist, but my autocorrect is not. Because earlier I texted the word feminist and it turned it into femme idiot.
Wow.
Yeah. Not inclusive language, firstly. Not inclusive language. And secondly, excuse me, it's like turning it into feminazi. I don't think so. I don't think so, iPhone. I don't think. Also, by the way, I've had this iPhone for the whole of lockdown, and it still half the time doesn't recognize my face with my glasses on. Every time it happens, I think, if you don't know me by now, you ain't ever, et cetera.
You always have to take off your glasses looking into your phone like you're shocked at, you know, in action films where there's an explosion in the distance or there's a big dinosaur eating the skyline. You have to go like that.
Yes.
That's what I'm doing with my phone all the time, is taking it off in shock. I'm a feminist, but I hate the saying there's a place in hell for women who don't help other women, because I don't like some other women and I don't want to help them. And I should feel okay about that, I feel. It's not real funny, but that's how I feel, you know?
No, I understand
that. I don't want to go to hell.
Well, also, whenever they say there's a special place in hell, I think, oh, is it like a VIP room? Like, it sounds, a special place in hell sounds better than just a place in hell. Like, I know it's meant to sound like a worse place, but it sounds to me special.
Maybe that's because you and the person you're not helping are both going to hell and they want to keep you separate. You know, they don't want it to be awkward in hell. They want you to be tortured, but they don't want, like, social awkwardness.
I love the idea that the devil's worried about the seating plan.
Yeah, I would be if I was the devil.
From a variety of bedrooms and kitchens via Zoom, The Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, guest co-host Alison Spittle, and our very special guest, Fern Brady, talking about embarrassment. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. I'm Deborah Frances White, with me is Alison Spittle, and we are talking about embarrassment.
Woo!
I'm going to cut straight to the guest because it seems
like
there's no point talking about this without our guest. Our guest today is a comedian and writer who has appeared on countless TV and radio shows, including The Russell Howard Hour and Live at the Apollo. In 2020, she and fellow comedian Alison Spittle started a podcast for the BBC called Wheel of Misfortune, one of my favourite podcasts. So funny that once I was having my makeup done by a makeup artist for a TV show, not to brag, but I was. And we had to turn it off because we could not get the job done. I was laughing and she was laughing, so my face was moving and her hand was moving, and I was really in danger of some very shoddy eyeliner, so we literally had to pause it. Also, The Guardian recently asked me, what is your funniest podcast? Because we're doing a list of funniest funny podcasts. I said, well, Mill of Misfortune by Fern Brady and Alison Spittle. She said, you can't have that. Someone else has already said it first.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yes, we heard about that.
That's right, my friend. So I went with I'm a feminist, but I went with Zach Braff and Donald Faison's show, Fake Doctors, Real Friends. I find it really funny. I'm sorry. It reminds me of a simpler time. Please welcome the incredible Fern Brady. Woo!
Hi.
I'm so happy you're here.
Zach Braff seems like a lovely man, though.
I just should recommend, if I've given an opportunity to The Guardian, I should recommend a woman's podcast or a podcast of a person of a minority gender. But they asked for funniest podcast. I said, you guys, and then they said no, and I panicked. And I said, also, okay, I'm a feminist, but I've recommended it in the press a few times, Fake Doctors, Real Friends by Zach Braff and Donald Faison, partly because I think eventually they're going to notice. They're going to go, who's this person who's always recommending us, who also seems to be very glamorous in Britain and well-known? We should invite her on as a guest.
Yeah.
And then probably when they come over, when the pandemic's done, we'll probably all have dinner. He goes out with Florence Pugh.
Oh, that would be cool. That'd be great.
They've got a good vibe. I feel like, you know, we'd all get on.
Zach Braff goes out with Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
We see it in a blind item, is it? They're public about it. It's like,
But isn't Zach Braff like 50 or something?
Yeah.
It has been commented on that he's like, I think he's like 46 and she's 26 or something like that. So yeah, I think it hasn't gone unnoticed. But I'm a feminist, but we're cutting that part out because otherwise he's not going to invite me for dinner. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Also, John Hamm's going out with like a 32-year-old or something.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Oh, I have a chance then. I'm 31.
I was sort of
John Hamm going out
with? I do like him.
Hold on.
Who is he going out with?
Oh, Deborah's Googling this in real time.
Well, because he was going out with that the same woman for a long, long time, for like 20 years.
From Kissing Jessica Stein. Did you see that film?
He was always in blind items for having a big willy and being a drunk.
What a wonderful combination.
Anna Oskiola.
And cheating on her as well.
That's right, I remember this now. She had a small part of the last episode ever of Mad Men. As a receptionist, a hippie receptionist.
Yes.
And now she looks nice. She's 32, he's 49. I think that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. It's hard to judge. If I don't see why you wouldn't go out with John Hamm or Zach Braff if you're like over 18.
I mean, I'm just thinking, sorry, I still think of myself as 20 and think of older men going out with me as dodgy, but I'm just thinking now the older you get, it's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, don't go out with Woody Allen, but, you know, other than that.
That's a good rule.
If I went out with a 50-year-old now, that would be okay. I'm 34.
Yeah.
Acceptable, yeah.
It would be lovely if men did go out with women in their age group. That would be a nice thing, but they're not going to, so let's not hope for it. What I love about your podcast is you just put it all out there. What I think it is very good at is you tell your own embarrassing stories on Theme of the Week. You get your listeners to voice note in their embarrassing stories, and then you have a guest on. I did an embarrassing story. It's just so funny and just so joyful. And what I love about it is it's sort of like shame releasing. So the whole idea of I'm a Feminist Bart is exfoliate the guilt before it becomes shame, because shame is luggage that you have to carry in the body. And if you have got guilt about something, it doesn't actually matter. It's just let it go, expel it, exfoliate it. You're exfoliating shame at a much greater rate than I am. You're penetrating it. Like,
it's an acidic peel.
It's a real acidic peel. You'd have to go to a licensed practitioner to do what you're doing with shame. It wouldn't be okay. It's not at home, just a bit of grainy stuff that you bought at Boots. Like, it's proper. I really do see the value in it. I see the benefit in going, I'm human, you're human, very bad, embarrassing things have happened to me. I've done things that I feel ashamed of. I've done things I've never told anyone, things that I've seen, things have happened to me.
Mm.
I said things, like all of those cringy things. It's so human. And I think I've thought for a while that the next stage of feminism is to access the libidinous, lazy, fighting, fucking, feeding human being deep down inside each woman. Like, but that's what I think the appeal of Fleabag was, really, was she was unapologetically female and feminine. But it was like the roaring depths, the sort of fight, fuck, feed part of the woman that is human. So it's humanity first and identity second. And I think it's sort of similar stuff that you're accessing on your show. What made you want to come up with it?
I don't want to talk in front of you for it and go like, this is what I think it's about. But what I love about my relationship with Fern and our friendship was kind of built on, this feels like I'm commodifying our friendship, but we are for a podcast. Like,
we are.
I've
avoided telling Alison a story because we're going to do it tomorrow on the podcast.
It's so like before, our voice notes were much more freer and we would say stuff straight away to each other. But now that we have a podcast together, our relationship has changed. And I think that would be a cool thing to talk about on this podcast, because I feel like we've never been interviewed at the same time about our podcast before. It's kind of us, either one of us just talking about which one?
We had a couple of shite ones.
Oh yeah, but this is a good one. This is like So this is why I think myself and Fern like doing our podcast together, or I think we're a good fit. It's weird that the Wheel of Misfortune is one of the only things that I can properly say that I'm very proud of and that I think is a good podcast. Aww. I think it's a good product, and it's something that, you know, me and her have come up with each other, and it feels like I've ownership on it and I'm proud of it and I like that. How long are we friends for? I'd say about like 4 years.
My first Edinburgh show was 2015, and you had tickets.
And
I got you some tickets and you didn't come. So that was when I first sort of met you, I think. And then we went for ice cream in Dublin or something.
We've all done that at the Edinburgh Festival, though. We've all bought tickets for someone's show and not come.
And hers is on at noon. Like, it was very early.
Yeah,
it's never going to happen. With best intentions.
Yeah.
People drink too much at the Edinburgh Festival to wake up and be at a show at noon.
I fecked up there.
She shouldn't have asked because she didn't even know me.
That's true. That's.
But like, did you take a free ticket, Alison?
Yes, I did. I'm bad, Deborah. It was sold out. Yeah.
Sure. Wow. I'm a feminist.
It was a 40 seater. So.
We haven't gotten tickets over that quickly. Yet. It's still held.
But I think Fern's really let it go.
No,
I really hold on to grudges and I recall them as if they were yesterday. It's awful. But anyway, this is why I think is good, because we've laughed about a lot of dark things, like when we've had like deaths or stuff in the family. We laugh about it and really dark stuff. And wretchedness is really funny. I just think human wretchedness is funny.
Yeah,
I've got to the point where I've had to pretend that we're not recording so that I can get the stories out. Like I did, there's one out in a recent one. I said something about Adrian Childs, and it's not dirty or anything. something happened with him. What episode was that?
That was Celebrity Cringe. So what had happened? You met Adrian Childs. He was really nice, but it was something in the back of your head that
really
kept
kind.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He sounds amazing. I would love to be Adrian Jones.
He was so kind. Sorry, what were you going to say?
But my dad is all the time, like, because my dad's a West Bromwich Albion fan, and Adrian Childs is a West Bromwich Albion fan, and Frank Skinner is a West Bromwich Albion fan. And he keeps going to me, like, why aren't you meeting up with these people? They could help your career. You both support the same football team. And I'm like, it's not like that, Dad. Like, they can't help me this way.
Well, look, I don't want to repeat the Adrian Childs thing, because he'll find out about it. Yeah. And I said that on the pod because I'm in this cupboard. I thought it won't go out on the BBC and it's safe, and then it did go in the edit, and now I'm not going to get to go to his house in Croatia because he like gave me his number and was like, if you're ever in Croatia, like,
but you will because like
I can't, the thing I did was too bad.
But all you did was say what a nice person he was all the time. Like, so you did an article years ago referring to Adrian Childs as not good looking. That was the thing. You said that if a woman looked like Adrian Childs or the equivalent, that she wouldn't get on television the same way that Adrian Childs would. And that's just making a point about feminism and the patriarchy and stuff. Yes. That's not going. I'm sure Adrian Childs would agree with you. I'm telling you now, I think he's a good man and he will let you go to his second home in Croatia.
So basically he invited you to his holiday house and now you're worried that he's going to find out that you wrote years ago, if a woman looked like Adrian Childs, she'd never be allowed on the telly.
So I was sitting doing the radio with him and I was like, what's the bad thing? What bad thing did I do to Adrian Childs? Because I haven't met him. And he was like, here, Fern, have another non-alcoholic beer. By the way, I love your stand-up. And he starts referencing specific parts so he wasn't, like, lying. And I was like, he's such a deeply good person. And then he, like, walked me back to my hotel after, not in a weird way. And he was like, here's my number if you're ever in Croatia. And I was like, fuck! I fucking wrote an article saying that he was minging and, like, no one would get on telly if they were a woman that looked like Adrian Childs.
Do you know what? I would also feel awkward about accepting his hospitality in his Croatian mansion. However, had I written that, however,
this is getting bigger and
bigger. Don't think you were just doing sort of trolling Adrian Childs. You were saying there's a double standard, and he was an example of that double standard. I think he would agree with you that it was unlikely because most female presenters are stereotypically attractive, and there's a sort of limited band of beauty for female presenters and there isn't for male presenters. So I think it's fine. And Adrian Childs, if you're listening, I would love you to be the bigger person and reiterate to Fern Brady that she can not just come to your Croatian mansion, but she can invite friends there and have it for a week when lockdown's over. And in fact, she should bring some guilty feminist friends along.
I would like to go
and have a feminist retreat.
Yes.
His girlfriend's the editor, Kath Viner, the editor of The Guardian. She definitely listens to this podcast.
She's been on it. She's great, Kath Viner. She's been on the podcast. We did a whole episode about The Guardian and supported The Guardian. And the slogan the Guilty Feminist came up with is, you have to pay for a free press. So why wasn't I invited to their Croatian house?
This is it. This is the...
That's my question.
If you're listening to this...
If you're listening to this, Kath Viner, disappointed not to have an invitation to the Croatian house.
This is how you turn the table.
We should have used another example from the podcast.
Okay, use another example. What stories have you told or have other people told that really stand out for you?
The sex one, I think, Fern. The sex one.
Go on.
The story that Fern had told, it was you had your eyes closed. It was like you were giving birth and I had to hold your hand. And I was like, it's fine, Fern. It's okay. You can say it.
Tell the story, well, go on.
But also to explain, our sound editor, I like love Irish guys in a way that's like, I would say fetishistic and insulting to them. And
the way I am, like, sound potato men, it's fine.
I go out with one and every time I remember he's Irish, it's like a prize and like he hates that. I can't help it though, it's really wired into me. But anyway, our sound engineer, oh, this is going to sound like I'm a creep to Jacques now. Our sound engineer is a really lovely Irish guy, and he's normally quite like straight faced. But on the day we did the sex episode, he was like, "How are you, Fern?" and really like smiley and nice. And I was like, "Don't be nice to me because I want to tell this horrible story." And I have this thing, like I said at the top of the episode, I don't like to be stand up Fern in front of like fit people. I want to be like cutie patootie Fern and be like, oh me, oh, I don't eat like the first date I went on with my boyfriend, he said I ordered this like dieter's 500 calorie pizza that had a hole in the middle so it had less calories. I was like, why did you do all that stuff? Because people don't care about that. So I really will do things like that in front of men. I hate it. Anyway,
you've been conditioned, socially conditioned to do it, Fern.
You pushed
we all have. We all have. We all fight that instinct to be like,
exactly.
Oh,
well,
just
I mean,
me.
I really do.
Just a little bit. So tell us the story.
So you want me to? So it's about bad sex. I would say because
I was trying to have good sex.
Yeah. Do you want me to say it for you?
Yeah, sorry, you say it.
Are you sure? Okay. So I feel.
I was trying to have good sex, and if you clench your pelvic floor muscle, that's like good, right?
Yeah,
that's a good thing to do. And I was stoned at the time, so I was trying to clench my pelvic floor muscle, and I farted in a guy's face when he was going to turn on me. My boyfriend, he said, "Don't use me on your material," and I was like, "I don't need you." I said, "I've never done it to you." He was like, "Yeah."
So, listeners at home, it's been
a bit. No.
What I love about that story is that, like, it's like you're jumping off a cliff, Fern, and you're going like two steps really slow, and then you have to really run for it. So you're like, and I put it in his mouth, like that. It's always so quick. It's like, so I clenched my pelvic floor muscle, and then I fired it in his mouth when he went down on me. It's like you're bombing it and. I'm sorry, Deborah.
No, I'm coping. I'm a feminist but I'm coping. I'm just about coping with this story. I don't like scatology of any sort. I can't help it. I want to be better at this. I want to be better at this. It's patriarchal conditioning that I'm not allowed to laugh at this.
But I swear down, the thing about fire and sex, it's like, it is a worse nightmare. It's like, you know what I mean? And it's so possible. Every time, it's more possible than a shark attack. Yeah. Yeah, I'm as afraid.
That's almost certainly true.
Yeah, fighting sex is definitely more possible than a shark attack. But yeah, I treat the both of them like similarly. Like if I think about that, it fills my heart with fear. You know, I'm just like, no, I can't.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But see, that's an example of something that it is quite feminist to talk about, I think, because that will have happened to a lot of people. A lot of people have that fear, but nobody wants to like talk about it. So it's like, if it happens to you, you think, I'm the only person this has ever happened to because I've never heard about it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite story, Alison, for the podcast that you've told?
Well, I think the worst story I had to tell was like this week, Fern, what about periods? Like, because I've been such a like, I don't know, as a woman, you're brought up never to talk about periods. I kind of feel weird about the whole period thing, that you have to pretend you don't have them. You know, you have to sort it and you have to like hide it from people. And it's all like you're wiping away tears for it. I love
this. No, I was just going to say, I feel like the friends that we have now, I feel like we're bad people for not using moon cups, but I don't want to use one.
No, that's there's a lot of, the period episode came out. And there's a lot of, we had to do an extra episode on periods because the bad sex, we had so many voicemails on just period sex.
Period sex is its own whole thing.
Yeah. There's this voice note we get in about this woman having sex and she had a moon cup in it. And I've never like the imagery that comes up is crazy, but
it was amazing. Yeah.
But when I was telling my story, and I don't think it is even necessarily like that embarrassing or that crazy, but it is something that like I've compartmentalized fully down into me. It's like there are levels of shame and levels of embarrassment that feel cathartic to talk about. But there are some bits that are just so that you've pushed down so much, like Fern and the farting thing. You know, genuinely, that it feels like physically hard to take it out. Like I couldn't even look at Fern. And it was just about it, and it only happened to be like 2 months ago. I was like on a shoot and I knew I was on my period, and I fully like I double bagged it. I was protected. I had a tampon and I can't even say it on a pad. Right, that's okay. I'm a mature woman.
I didn't know that was a thing.
What, double bagging it? Like, to?
Yeah, I'm so clueless.
What's double bagging it?
Well, that's when someone puts on two condoms. It's a pretend bit of slang.
I thought it might be that, but I wanted to just clarify.
Yeah. I think it's in the song, I Like the Way You Work It. No diggity. I got it.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
We talked about the lyrics to that one day, double bagging. Yes, we did on the podcast. We talked about it.
Let's pretend they were talking about period protection.
yes.
I like the way you menstruate. So, but
no diggity.
No diggity. So I went to the shoot. I'm burning up now. And I feel it's my duty to say it because Fern has been so kind to say her one. And I wish. Okay, so I was there and it was a COVID compliant shoot, so there wasn't that many people there. There was only two chairs and I sat in a chair and I felt fully confident, Deborah. I was like, I'd made myself a flask of tea, sandwiches. I was fully prepped for that day. It was my professional duty. Anyway, got up off the chair and there it was, just... It was like the Shroud of Turin, just a big stain left on the director's chair. Now, there's about 8 people on this shoot and 2 chairs. And I sorted myself out in the toilet. I left my coat on the thing to cover it. Came back, coat was gone. right? It was just there.
No.
All through the shoot, I kept trying to cover it. I got hand sanitizer. I got like a half a liter of hand sanitizer. I was trying to wash it off. And each time I covered it up with a coat, came back, it was gone. Oh, and I ended up having to tell the producer lady, because I just didn't want, it's very hard when you tell someone that you've stained their furniture with menstruation.
It's very tricky, that conversation.
Yeah, you're putting your life into their hands. You're like, I'm giving you this piece of information. Now you could go and tell everyone about this, or you could be the bigger person and keep this to you. And also, like, you know, I'm sorry, but this is not my first rodeo. Like, I just feel at 31, I should not be imprinting myself on stuff.
It's such a telltale mark as well.
It is.
You could have done a real I'm a feminist and I free bleed thing.
Yeah. What? At your COVID compliant shoot, I've decided to free bleed. Like, you know who you've hired.
My brand is quite clear.
Yeah, could you imagine that on a blind items if I ever got famous enough to be like, Alison Spittle free bleeds everywhere.
I feel like you would handle it very elegantly, Deborah, and just be like, and people, it would just be okay.
How would you handle that?
If I free bled? No. I would be tempted to walk away, I think. I would be tempted just to... But I don't know. I don't know what I would do. But the right thing to do is what you did, is to go to the producer and go, I'm really sorry. There's been an accident. Someone was killed. The police have come in. They've dealt with the body. The homicide is being dealt with. You don't need to worry about that. I've handled that. The only evidence of this death now is there's some blood on that chair, but I'm sure you can sort that out. You're the producer. That's the right thing. Even as I started to say the right thing to do, I lied. I lied in my example of the right thing to do because I couldn't get it out of my mouth.
Yeah, it's not.
There's been a homicide of an elf or a leprechaun, a pixie, some small person, and the authorities are handling it. But in the meantime, could we get a new chair for the director because there's some elfin blood on it?
And quite a lot of hand sanitizer as well. And I was like, I think the people must have known as well, because I was like having conversations with people and just scrubbing like mad, just going, oh yeah, it's great to be out, you know. And just, I was like old time washerwoman kind of thing, just like scraping it with my knuckles. It was horrible.
Yeah. Well, this podcast is so funny, but I do think talking about these embarrassing stories, there's a value in it. There is a genuine feminist value in it. The one that I had to stop the podcast because of the laughing was Siobhan McSweeney, who's done this podcast before. She's been on it. She plays Sister Michael in Derry Girls, and she now hosts the Pottery Throwdown. She's a very, very funny person in general. But on your podcast, most people on Wheel of Misfortune will go, so when I was a teenager, this happened.
Yeah.
Or when I was at university, I got so drunk, I did X, Y, and Z. Siobhan comes on and goes, so it was that interim period of lockdown where we were allowed out for like 6 weeks to go into a bar, but only for business or something like that. And she went, so last Wednesday, I was like, what? Last Wednesday? No, this isn't the game. The game is I was young, I was foolish, youth is wasted on the young. I didn't know what I was doing. I'm a different person now. I've grown, I've changed, I've evolved. And she went, basically said, last Wednesday, I went out with a friend. He said, I've got to get up and get on the Eurostar in the morning, so I cannot have a late one. I cannot have a messy one. But I was celebrating a job and I was like, all right. And he kept saying it like I was the problem. So I was so annoyed with how he was going, I know what you're like, you'll keep me out. That every time he went to the bar, I ordered another bottle of wine and another really pernicious cocktail, basically, out of sort of rebellious spite that, like, stop going on, stop saying I'm the one that leads you astray. As if to prove his point, she kept getting more and more booze. Until eventually... sitting at the bar, was so drunk. They started chatting to a man. And he said, what do you do? And she said, I'm a school teacher. And her friend turned to her like, you're not. She was just so drunk. And then out of nowhere, a teenager came up, obviously a Derry Girls fan, and went, I really love you so much. Can I get a selfie with you? And this man must have been thinking, wow, she must be a brilliant teacher if her students ask for selfies. And she said yes, and she... Then she just fell off. This, I might be telling this wrongly, but my memory is she just fell off the bar stool and rolled.
And rolled.
She rolled out of the bar and she rolled through Soho like a barrel, was her words. And it's hard to explain why it was funny, but it was.
When she got home, her friend was with her and he was going, shit, it was like 6 o'clock in the morning or something. He'd lost his phone. He'd lost his Eurostar ticket, which was on the phone. He was like, oh, no, I meant to go to Paris, blah, 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 blah. And she just said something like, oh, you'll be grand or something like that. Something very Irish.
Yeah.
What did she say? Say something Irish, Alison, that you might say in that circumstance.
I'd say you'll be grand as the Irish. I'd say that's it. Yeah.
So can I try? I'm going to try that. You'll be grand.
That's perfect. That's better than Emily Blunt. That's tremendous.
And then she said, I woke up in the morning, face down on my bed, my coat still on, but nothing else. It was like naked, but a bag. I think a bag was strapped over her body.
But nothing else. That's it. Yeah.
Handbag strapped over her body, nothing else. And I was in tears laughing at the idea of Siobhan rolling out of a bar, keeping her friend from a job, because he'd gone, I'm not going out with you because of this. No, it's one quick drink to celebrate my success. Cut
we were
two.
Crying laughing that episode. She's still the funniest.
Yeah.
Her and Lottie from Bake Off. Lottie's like a comedian.
Oh, I love Lottie from Bake Off. I haven't heard that episode. Please tell us, what did Lottie from Bake Off say?
It was all about tattoos. So we're doing a tattoo episode. And like just the choices that Lottie has made over the years has been hilarious. And she, because she's a fan of the podcast.
She seems so cool.
Yeah, she's so cool. But she kind of got it straight away. Like, it's great to have guests like yourself and people that like have listened to the podcast and they kind of like know the vibe of it, you know? And she was on the vibe. She was an amazing guest to get.
She's a fan of the podcast. So she like DM'd me and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah,
but she just seems so cool. But yeah, her tattoos are really.
What were her tattoos?
she did
Incubus. She's got an Incubus tattoo.
Isn't it Incubus lyrics? But they were like the wrong lyrics or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and she doesn't even like the band that much. She's got like a werewolf or a female werewolf tattooed on her. Really
beware
gothy.
Beware of the Jedward. The Jedward sayings. Don't tattoo yourself with Jedward tweets. I really feel like that's gonna date.
I'm gonna give myself a cool enough period of 2 weeks. All right, and I'll see if I feel the same way. But I mean, be a leader, not a little bitch. No, I know, listen, it's unfeminist.
I know you're going to get this tattoo, but I'm going to say two things. One is Jedward tweets are going to date to the pandemic year.
Yeah.
And you may not want to remember this year for the rest of your life so
That's
prominently.
True.
Number two, if you are going to get it, can I beg you to get it sort of on like on your ankle or like a little inside of the arm or even
or
a lower
a
back.
Journal.
A lower so back. Would, I'm going to get a Jedward lower back tattoo. Can you imagine?
I'm begging you not to get it on your neck. I don't want to be your mum, Alison Spittle, but somebody has to if your mum is not informed, because I bet your mum would say absolutely not. Absolutely not.
She'd be very against it. She'd be very against it.
I'm going to ring your mum and tell her Alison's going to get a Jedward tweet tattoo. That is the worst idea I or anyone has ever heard.
Maybe it's because I've just drank a lot of apple juice and I'm on a bit of a sugar high, but it just feels, it feels right.
Feels so right.
It does.
Feels so right. Can you tell us some of the embarrassing stories that listeners have sent in?
Oh, the listener voice notes. It's my favourite bit of the podcast because like we get to hear like the different kind of people that listen to our podcast and they're very different from each other. They're very different from each other. It's just amazing. But you must get this, Deborah, with like the Good Feminist when people contact you from like loads of different places. And it's kind of weird because I felt that like because I know this sounds weird, but because I'm Irish and friends Scottish and we do a lot of our stuff is like local references, I feel, to stuff. I didn't know that we would get the international listenership that we've got so far from the voice notes.
Yeah, we've got someone in Argentina who's using the podcast to learn English and someone else in Russia who's using it to learn English.
Don't think that's a good idea. I don't mean to be a naysayer.
Yeah.
That's as good idea as having a Jedward tweet to neck tattoo. Don't listen to your podcast to learn English. It's full of filth.
Can you imagine the Duolingo with our sentences in it? Somebody asked me today, by the way, on Instagram, what is a queef? Because we spoke about it on the podcast and they didn't know what a queef was.
They're so lucky not to know.
I know. So I had to then type, I've never felt that this would be part of my job where I had to type what a queef was. Like I'm Susie Dent in Dictionary Corner.
Like filthy Susie Dent, like a filthy Susie Dent.
Yeah, like a filthy Susie Dent going queef. I believe it's the Latin or whatever, you know.
Yeah, well, we should tell. This is the one of my favourite ones recently is the one in the episode out today about periods. This girl was having sex with another girl and it was her period, the girl who sent in the message. And she was like, she was really well spoken. She was like, this is quite saucy, but I was on all fours. And the girl who was fingering her said something went wrong. And basically like the suction from her moon cup, it sort of dislodged or something. And the girl who she was having sex with was like, I think something's wrong. So her listener turned over, and as she did the biggest queef, and blood sprayed across the room.
Oh.
And she was like, I don't know what kind of lesbian doesn't know what a queef is, but the girl she was having sex with said, go and do your farts over there. Just like, made her go stand in a corner.
That's a lot to unpack. I mean, the imagery, number one, and I'm something weird about doing this on a Guilty Feminist as well. Because, like, it feels, I don't know, I love the listenership that I'm on, but yet, like, when we do our, it's like we're showing other people our dirty little secrets or something like that. It feels, do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's all out on the Guilty Feminist tonight. I love it. I love it. I love the fact that, I mean, this is the stuff we actually don't talk about on the Guilty Feminist because of my squeamishness. And actually,
I didn't know. Sorry.
No. I'm just saying I run the tone of this show and I would never go there because I feel uncomfortable. But I love that you do because what I'm saying it's the missing piece of feminism that I am not serving the public. I mean, there are many missing pieces of feminism I'm not serving the public. I don't think it's the exclusive piece, but it's a piece of feminism where I go, I'm like the queen, I don't go to the loo.
But we're not free of shame. Like the thing is, like, you know, when there's other people who are just like, I don't feel shame about this and I don't feel like shame about that. I'm full of shame. Like this physically hurts me to listen about it or talk about it. But it does. And it's so like,
It's a very Catholic podcast, basically.
It's a very Catholic podcast. I mean, we've spoken about St. Bernard.
Who's St. Bernard?
St. Bernard is this, like, he's my favourite saint. One of his miracles consisted of him praying and then the Virgin Mary appeared to him and lactated into his mouth. Like, that's the thing that she did.
Right.
And the depictions of it, like, in art have been amazing because they don't want to show, like, a mouth up to a nipple. Because they would feel that that's overly sexualized.
I've seen pictures of him there.
Have you seen pictures of it?
There's paintings, Renaissance paintings and stuff of him. Yeah, absolutely.
She's like a super soaker. I love it. Like, I find it so, like, yeah, I think it's that weird Catholic guilt that we have that, like, and I think I've said this many times before, but there's half the time, I don't know whether, like, sometimes I have to assess myself and go to myself, am I mentally ill or is this the residual Catholicism in me? Like, that is a question I say to myself all the time. It's hard. I feel like we're kind of free. We're freeing ourselves of shame, but we're not quite free. Would you agree with that, Fern?
Well, I was going to say, in terms of talking about the Catholic stuff again and the saints, I did some course in about the way women were depicted in stories of the saints. I think this was at uni. And they would always make a point of when female saints got cut, they would bleed. They didn't bleed, just milk would come out because they were so pure. So we're kind of undoing all of that by having these queef period blood stories.
You were demilking.
Well, it's no coincidence that the most popular episode, because I think some people have been like, oh, they just delight in all this disgusting stuff. But
yeah, we did Daily Mail do an article about us and that felt so strange. Complain about it.
But I do think there should be more, because women are so ashamed of their bodily functions and obsessed with being clean and nice. So
yeah. But what weirds me out about the Daily Mail is that they go on about, or like, you know, often you hear free speech defenders go on about like how you can't say anything in comedy anymore. But yet when we're being attacked by a right-wing newspaper about, you know, the subjects that we talk about, they were saying, what was it? Because we did an episode on poo, and they were like, this is puerile and stuff. And I feel like it wouldn't be, we wouldn't be known as puerile if we weren't women. And it just, it's very strange, the silence from the community of people that believe in freedom of speech with comedy. They keep quiet about that sort of stuff. They keep quiet when a national paper calls out a small podcast. And I know it's on the BBC, but like they were trying to say that license fee payers are paying for this puerile stuff. And it's like, we're just doing a podcast that's entertaining. And
I mean, it's excruciatingly funny and like pant-wettingly funny. I mean, I've got embarrassing stories about listening to your podcast and wetting myself. That's the irony. I'm looking at some of your themes recently and then trying to come up with stories that I would tell if I was on this episode. So celeb shame.
Please, this is brilliant.
Celeb shame with Tom Allen. Yeah. I don't know what story Tom Allen told, but this would be my celeb shame. I met Ed Miliband at a party.
Yeah.
And he said, and if you're a global listener, he used to be a Labour Party leader and he didn't win the election and then resigned as Labour Party leader. So I met him at a party and he said, he was introduced to me and he was like, oh, I really love your podcast, The Guilty Feminist. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. And I also enjoy your podcast, Ed Miliband, Reasons to be Cheerful, just his podcast. And I said, what's your main job now? What do you do for work? And he went, I'm still an MP. And I went, of course you are. Of course you are. And he went, no, that's what everyone says. They think I'm not an MP anymore just because I'm not the leader of the Labour Party. I went, no. It's just that Tories always resign from the whole thing if they're not going to be, you know, important. Not that you're not important, Ed Miliband. You are important. But I said, you know, often Labour MPs will stick around, won't they? Won't they, Ed Miliband? And he went, yes, I'm still an MP. And then, like, 4 minutes later, after me saying this and backpedaling massively, like, beep, 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 this truck is reversing. Four minutes later, he just went, well, it's my bedtime. I'd better go. And I was like, oh, well, night, night. An hour and a half later, I saw him talking to someone else at the party.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I wish you'd been able to do that on the podcast. Yeah. This is the thing of trying to capture all the best stories.
This is great that we get a second chance at this.
Fern, is there anything else you came to say that you did not get to say?
Absolutely. I have a stand-up special on iPlayer called Power and Chaos. Please watch it.
Great. It's on iPlayer, Power and Chaos. And follow Fern Brady in all the regular ways. Are you Fern Brady on everything?
I'm at Fern from Bathgate on Instagram and at Fern Brady on Twitter.
Great. So follow Fern and please subscribe to the podcast. It is genuinely brilliant and it helps me talk about these things more and laugh about these things more because I think I'm quite repressed and I feel like a Jane Austen heroine who's very repressed. It's all shut down. And then
with you
guys, I'm able to laugh about it. And it's so good. It's so good to be able to kind of laugh and be ridiculous. Fern Brady, everybody.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. This is Deborah. Now, like a lot of people, we are deeply concerned about the UK policing bill and what it means for all of us in this country. The part we're focusing on is the clamp down on protests, which will mean that the police can warn protesters that they're being noisy and annoying, which is kind of the definition of a protest, and then make arrests if protesters don't comply or don't hear. I mean, that's really the same thing as saying it will be illegal to protest about anything ever. We need to fight for our right to be noisy and annoying, or accept that we just have to take whatever legislation this government or any subsequent government decides to enact. That's why this is the most important part of this bill for us. If other parts pass, we need to be able to protest about those. You'll be hearing more about this as the bill gets closer to becoming law, but we're kicking off with a live stream emergency episode on Thursday, the 29th of April, 7:30 p.m. UK time. I'll be joined by Femi Olawale, Juliet Stevenson, and other special guests, and we'll try and figure out what to do to preserve our right to be noisy and annoying. Now, we are starting a campaign. We've got ideas and we're going to start a campaign, so it would be great if you could be there, friends and family could be there. We are reaching across the political divide on this because anybody who wants their right to speak up needs to be concerned about this if they want to continue to live in a democracy. To get your ticket, go to momenthouse.com/guiltyfeminist and use the promo code protest in caps to get a discounted ticket. If you're a frontline worker, NHS worker, student, teacher, or you're in receipt of benefits or experiencing financial hardship, please join us to defend our right to be hashtag noisy and annoying before it's too late. And finally, as lockdown lifts, it looks as if we are going to be able to record some new episodes in front of real live audiences again. Our first show back with a live but socially distanced audience is going to be Monday the 17th of May, once more at King's Place in London at 7:30 p.m. Get your tickets now by going to kingsplace.co.uk. All of these events and more can be found on our website, guiltyfeminist.com, or check out the links in our show notes.
And while we're talking about human rights...
So... These are thoughts that I've written down in the past little while until I get to do stand-up again. It's exciting for me. So for this lockdown, right, my boyfriend is learning the keyboard and I've developed an eye infection. Like, that is the extent of my creative endeavor. The other day I put some moisturizer in my eye by accident and it stung quite a bit, and I just thought, why not keep it in just to see how it feels for a little while, because I just wanted to feel a bit different, which is very effective. Oh yeah, this is it. So I've decided to grow my own food to save money on food. And I've grown carrots and tomatoes and potatoes. And I looked at on my balcony.
No.
I swear to God, I'm living my real life Farmville dreams. Like, you know, Farmville has just been like taken down. And I was like, I'm just going to go for it real life. So I'm growing stuff on my balcony. And I got like some tomatoes on the go, some strawberries.
Wow.
It's and I was like, oh, I'm gonna live off the land, which is my balcony. And I'm gonna save so much money on food. I realized I spent 200 quid on gardening stuff. So that food is not worth it. Like, the supermarket exists for a reason. It's a very good thing. Like, stuff for 50p, you can't beat that. I'm never gonna save money growing stuff. And also, it just gives me an anxiety about stuff dying around me that I didn't think I needed before. You know, I have that with my relatives. I don't need it with stuff I buy, where I'm just worried about them dying all the time. Also, I've taken up like physical activity. I've been doing Zumba online, which has been good fun. I realized before, I was always curious about Zumba. I always wanted to do Zumba, but I was scared because I had heard a rumor that Scientologists are involved in Zumba and that they will try and recruit you through Zumba. So I never did Zumba in the real world.
Is that true?
Well, you see, I don't think it is. To be honest with you, Deborah, this is the thing with me, right? You could tell me a whiff of a rumor to stop me doing physical activity and I will believe it. You know what I mean? Like, that's my thing. I realized
the patriarchy invented walks.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Like, you know, aerobics is very problematic. I don't know how, but I've heard it is. So I don't do it. And I just realized that, like, number one, I am a person that went into a Scientology office because I had a half an hour to kill and just wanted to see what the videos were like, you know? And so I'm not that afraid of being a Scientologist. I thought, like, oh, Zumba would recruit me, but going into their office would be fine.
I'm fine. Yeah. I've got a strong, steely mind. I could go into the offices and take the personality test, inverted commas, but Zumba, I don't think so.
No, Zumba, I'm sweating. I'm vulnerable. Like, you know, I would do anything probably to stop doing physical activity. Maybe that's what they do. But, like, yeah. By the way, I definitely don't know that Scientologists are involved in Zumba. And, like, you know, it's just about me believing rumors rather than besmirching Zumba. But I love it. Online, I love it. And I kind of hate that people are right that exercise does feel good. Like, do you know when you're sweating, you feel the endorphins and you're like, oh, that wanker was right. Because it's always said by a wanker, you know, oh, you feel great. You'll feel great. And I hate it when they're right. Do you know, like, going to the gym is a lot like watching, and this is a very deep cut, but it's like watching a Michael Haneke film. Like, Michael Haneke is this Austrian director who every time it's just very intense to watch his films. And I'm all the time, like, I'm going, I'm not in the mood to watch it. And then you know, I do it, I watch it, and then I'm like, oh, this is great. I should watch this. I should watch a lot more of his films. It'd be a lot more enriching. But then it is like the gym. Do you know, you think straight after the gym, you're like, I should do this all the time. And then you're like, oh, I've done my bit, you know, and you don't do it for weeks after. So this is a, this is how I feel. Oh, yeah, this is the other thing, Deborah. I realized when I was a kid, I'm still afraid of dying. But when I was a kid, I was afraid of dying, but I thought if I became famous, then I would kind of live forever. Because I used to read like the Encyclopedia Britannica. And I love the biology section where you're listening, you're reading about people that have done good or people that have done not even good things, but like big things. And I was like, well, if I do that when I'm older, and if people remember me after I died, then it wouldn't be like I died. But like, to be honest with you, life has hit me hard so much that my expectations for that have gone down. And I think like I would just like a sandwich named after me at this stage. That's what I would like.
And the Alison Spittle.
The Alison Spittle.
What would be on the Alison Spittle?
It's a brown demi baguette roll with cheese, stuffing. Chicken. If you're vegetarian, you don't have to have chicken, but it needs to be stuffing, cheese, and coleslaw. That three way, and it needs to be like hollowed out. And
you
that would
do
be
that
the Alison
faux chicken.
Yeah, you have a faux chicken, but I've had it without. I was a vegetarian, and I used to get my cafeteria to make me that. But that is the Alison Spittle, and that is my role, and that's what I'd like to do. I think like you just need to, when you're older, your ambitions go down, and now I just want a role named after me. And it's perfect.
If you
were a sandwich, what would you be called? What would you be in you, Deborah? John Hamm?
Hey! Yay! Yes. I'm slightly hoping. I talk about Lola's lashes a lot, the magnetic eyelashes, because they've changed my life.
Okay.
And
would you like a sandwich?
I can't put on faux lashes, but I can do the magnetic ones with the magnetic eyeliner. And Lola's lashes, I don't work for them, but Grace Petrie now secretly thinks I'm Lola. And I'm pushing my lashes because I talk about them so much. But I'm not. But I'd love Lola's lashes to name a lash the Guilty Feminist. That would be like, I'm a feminist, but I'd rather have fake eyelashes named after me than a sandwich.
That's fair. I mean, that's the most Deborah Francis Whitehead sentence I've ever heard in my life as well. That's beautiful.
I want the glamour. I want a lipstick named after me. I want a lipstick named after me. I want a cocktail named after me. I don't really want a sandwich. I'll take it. God, if there's a deli out there wanting to do the Guilty Feminist sandwich is probably something like light mayo. It's like your kind of, do you know what I mean? It's like something that's got like a touch of the, oh, I mustn't about it.
Yeah, you need like, I think that light mayo, maybe if you hide a jalapeno pepper in as well, so you don't know when you're going to get it and then it's there. It'll be like a little landmine or something, just a little jalapeno pepper hidden in the sandwich.
Do you mean there's like a mini phallic symbol in there?
Yes. Yeah, because it's a guilty feminist. Also,
enjoyable.
Very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. Oh, yeah, and this is the other thing. So I've kind of, I've given up Twitter. I am addicted. I fully am addicted to Twitter. Like someone told me today about the Jedward boys and I was like, I have to see them. Like the Jedward boys at the moment are calling out people on Twitter and it's beautiful. But it's making me kind of reassess what I tweet. Like
you've come off Twitter, so you're not tweeting anything.
Well, like I tweet Wheel of Misfortune stuff. You know, I keep promoting stuff, but I don't tweet my opinions. And that's really hard because I've got so many opinions on stuff. Like, who am I going to tell Deborah that I love every one of the Gogglebox families, even the ones I suspect of being Tories? Like, I love them so much. That's how I feel. So I have this. I'm going to save up all the tweets that I want to say and then bring them to you.
Fantastic.
You could be my Twitter vessel.
Did you message me the other day saying, who am I going to tell that I think I love all the goggle boxes, even the ones I think are Tories? Who am I going to say that to? My boyfriend? Once?
Oh, yes. Did I say that on the Guild Feminist before? I must have.
No, you said it to me, I think. You said it to me.
Oh, my gosh.
In private. And I was just laughed and laughed at the idea of, who am I going to say it to? My boyfriend? Once? That's going to be good enough?
Yeah, like, it's not, you know, I am the person that seeks the validation of strangers. Like, I have to admit that. So yeah, it's a journey. It's a journey for me. And but I really enjoyed my time being on the Guilty Feminist Twitter page. And like, I love all the listeners and the interactions we have, but it's too much for me. I am addicted. It does take away time from me so bad.
Oh yeah. Time and energy and focus. And it's all, it makes you small. It sort of like puts you down a little tunnel, keeps you on your phone doing this when you need to be out and up and big.
That's so true.
Big vision.
This is why I love being friends with you, Deborah. Like, you know, you make me feel big. Yeah. 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 But that's all the bits I have, I think.
Alison Spriggle, everybody. Can you tell us your favorite listener voice note for the Wheel of Misfortune?
There's one. This is out of the piss episode. A man got very, very drunk. He was at a house party. And he went into this bathroom and he's taking a leak. And then he looked at the floor and he's like, why are there loads of carrots on the floor? And then he felt a hand on his shoulder. And the owner of the house was shouting at him, stop pissing in my fridge. And it turned out he was pissing in a man's fridge.
No! Yeah. That's the worst story I've ever heard. Oh, my God. Oh,
babes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, yeah. I mean, that is a faux pas. You know, you do leave the house in disgrace if you piss in someone's fridge.
I'm excited to listen to more. I do think it's probably doing me good. I'm a little bit like, I wish I could release those sides of me and go, it's only human bodily functions. What does it matter? But I find it hard. I do find it hard. And I know it's conditioning. I know it's social conditioning of what ladies should like and what ladies should talk about. And so I use your show as a sort of conduit to release some of those repressions. So thank you very much for doing it, Alison Spittle.
Woo! Thank you.
You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Francis White, guest co-host Alison Spittle, and our very special guest, Fern Brady. The Guilty Feminist theme tune was composed by Mark Hodge and produced by Nick Sheldon, and produced by Tom Salitsky for The Spontaneity Shop. Thanks to Rachel Proffman, Gina Dicio, and everyone who made this episode happen, as well as all of you for listening. More information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com. Secret to the tattoo is they follow you and hardly anyone else on Twitter. I see. Does your boyfriend know about this? We could...
Look, I've got a laminated list and it's just Jedward. Both of them, though, at the same time. That's what it would have to be.
Have we started the podcast, by the way? Right, I was going to say, like,
This is The Guilty Feminist, and you're on it. Whatever you say can and will be held against you in the feminist court of opinion.
Having a practice.
I can see the emails flying in now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.